grace, lead us to hear your true and living word and to understand it more. Amen. We joined Jesus, the great crowd of disciples, and a great number of people just after Jesus has chosen his 12 disciples. They have come down the mountain to a level area where the crowd of followers have gathered. In verse 18 it says, they had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases, and those troubled by evil spirits were healed. They had all been drawn to this man, Jesus, who seemed to be different to those who came before. There's no mention in our passage of faith being professed before healing could take place, as we may be aware in other healing stories. This leads me to think that these cures are all coming from Jesus, regardless of a profession of faith. It's as if the journey undertaken by a great number of people seeking Jesus out seems to have been enough of a declaration of faith. With what I understand of Jesus, I think that each individual would have been provided with Jesus' ability to step into their situation, to be with them and meet them where they were, each receiving that individual attention and special treatment from Jesus. The number of cures that took place would have been significant given the great number of people there. And it is noted in verse 19 that power was coming out from him and healing them all. With all that he was doing, Jesus had all the attention fixed on him. It appears to me that he handled that influx of attention, pressure and focus with grace and compassion for those who were around him and who had travelled to see him. As we now turn to what Jesus said to his disciples, we are faced with another challenge from Jesus. Jesus again stops us in our tracks. Blessed are the poor, blessed are those who hunger. Now that seems strange when you first read or hear it. How come the poor and hungry are blessed? For me, today's passage lends itself to a code of conduct to go with site rules we have been issued through the decrees received from God. Let me explain. For several years as part of my job, I have been responsible for ensuring the site rules and code of conduct information is provided to contractors. The details contained in the document must be sufficient to enable contractors to understand the rules of the site and what behaviours are acceptable and expected of them while working on site. The document provides information around how to sign in, access their worksite, who their primary contact is, the consequences of not following the rules, and not least, the behaviour that is expected. With this information, the contractors are able to work and comply with the requirements without additional hindrance and unnecessary delay. I see the blessings in our reading today as the conduct we are expected to live by. In verse 20, blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. I don't believe that Jesus is telling us to give everything away, to give up all that we have and become a burden to society. The way I understand this verse is that we need to do what we can to fix our attention on God, and if we can strip away the distractions we may have around us. Placing our whole attention on God, his decrees for us and our lives, and working to be closer to him enables us to be blessed. We could be hungry but never get that hunger satisfied because we are seeking satisfaction in the wrong place. I believe the hunger Jesus is referring to in verse 21 is the hunger to know more of God and to increase our knowledge and understanding of him and his ways. I think this is where we need the courage to not stand still in our understanding of God, but to constantly strive to learn more about and of God and what he is trying to say to us. I believe this is a hunger we would not be able to satisfy in any other way. In the second half of verse 21, blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. My understanding of this blessing is when we mourn and weep for the brokenness of the world around us, we see how climate change is impacting on God's creation and realize it is not helped by us. When we see leaders of countries determined to have their way over that of another and the impact this has not only on that country, but the rest of the world, We weep for the suffering being caused and our seemingly inability to influence change on a large scale. But through prayer for our world, we become able to influence change, and we will experience great joy when the kingdom of God arrives, when Jesus returns. Then we come to verse 22 and 23. And we live our lives in a manner which follows Jesus' code of conduct. We are living our lives differently to the norm. Standing out as different is not without its challenges. The treatment we receive could be anything less favourable than someone who is not a follower of Jesus. Yet when we receive treatment such as this, no matter where this comes from, Jesus tells us to rejoice. As in verse 23, let us rejoice in that day and leap for joy, because great is your reward in heaven. In working to live our lives according to the code of conduct Jesus has set for us, the blessings we receive in heaven will outweigh the troubles we receive while on earth. The woes in our reading are the mirror image of the blessings mentioned earlier in today's passage. But for me, the woes are again a guide to the way in which we conduct our lives. Society sees our comfort, satisfaction, joy, and being highly thought of as positive attributes, and we can be lulled into thinking that we are okay with God. Our desire to spend time with God can be overcome with the distractions of our day caused by various things, technology being one. Our hunger for God can be diminished by our lack of desire and longing to learn more of Him. Our joy can be taken for granted when we become focused on our own little world and not the world in which we live. Our comfort in others thinking highly of us can lead us to forget the code we are to live by. Jesus taught us to seek God in all that we do, to work to maintain that focus on the things of God and not of the secular world, and by doing so, we receive blessings. The code of conduct issued by Jesus, by which we are to live, is all well and good, but we still have a choice as to whether we follow it. Unlike my contractors who'd be asked to leave site, if we choose not to follow the code of conduct Jesus issued, we are choosing not to receive the countless blessings which are waiting for us. We can choose to live as society seems to dictate, which appears to be a culture of must-haves. We must have the latest, this or that. There's the pressure to live our lives for ourselves, that we are worth it, as one manufacturer of beauty products states. No one is denying the worth that we have. After all, Jesus thought we were worth his life. But the feel of society appears to be all me focused. So when our focus is on Jesus' way, it is in contravention to the world. It may well mean that we wind up in conflict with societal norms, or even in trouble in some way because we choose to live our lives as Jesus taught, a different and arguably better way of living. As we grow, we learn about the impact of the choices that we make and how some choices can have positive influences on our lives. And there's no choice greater than the choice we make to follow Jesus. The way we live our lives reflects our desire to take our poor heart, our hunger for the Lord, our weeping, and turn that into living our lives as Jesus taught us to. In choosing to walk the way Jesus taught and fixing our eyes on God, though it may cause us hardship, it will provide us with great rewards and enable us to one day be in the presence of and receive the blessings Jesus spoke about. To achieve receiving the blessings spoken about, it is our inner qualities which are important, and not the outer appearance, which may be that of riches, being satisfied and being highly thought of. It is our personal relationship with God and Jesus which will bring us the bountiful and beautiful blessings promised in our passage today. Amen.